Hello. Welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode number, I think, 66, probably. It's a lot of episodes. Who would have thought this freaking book would be so long? I thought it was just like a little booklet or whatever. I didn't know it was just pages and pages. And I'd be curious, I think I've said it before, but how short you could make it if you just distilled it into its bare essentials and its bare necessities, and just took out all the repetition and everything. By now, be like 30 pages. I think I'm on page, let's see. I'm on page 154 now after this reading out of 602. So that's just about exactly a quarter of the way done. So, that's what we're up against. I think that's just the reason that, one of the many reasons that religion stays so strong. I mean, how do you combat a book that is just so long? There's no, even if it was just gibberish, which it is. I mean, like, if it was just random words, how do you refute all of that book? You know, like, how do you, I don't know, anyway. All right, we're on 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is a good little reading here. Got another famous story. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? So I guess, the Lord is... If you remember, the people elected Saul... Or no, the people said they wanted a king, and then the Lord told Samuel which person to elect king. So it's not like they voted on Saul, you know, like the Lord still chose him, which is, I think, is a little weird when when we read on here. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will shew thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So the first son comes across, and Samuel's like, this has got to be the guy. He's a hottie. He's a heartthrob. Samuel's like, I'm highly attracted to this guy. I hope he's the king. The Lord's like, no, it's not about outward appearance. It's about the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, this surely must be the one, because look at his heart. It's huge. No, and then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. The Lord doesn't let people down very easily, does he? It's like, now this isn't it. Next thing. no, not you. Not you. Move along. Now, there, now this one's a chronic masturbator. It's not him. Next one. Next. Too ugly. Too short. Too fat. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. Well, he could have just said, It's none of the seven ones. It's none of these. You know, so we didn't have to go through this embarrassing series of rejections. Why did he need to reject them one at a time? And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. See, he was already separated out. I love these stupid little embellishments and literary devices they have to use, you know? Like, If you're God, let's just say you're God, which shouldn't be a stretch. Just imagine that you're God. And you've sent Samuel to some guy who has eight sons. And one of the sons is the chosen king. So Samuel goes up, and seven of the sons are just standing, are lined up, you know, and standing there. And one at a time, he goes, no, no, not that one. No, no, colder, cold, colder, freezing cold, wrong. If you were God, wouldn't you just have said, oh, perfect, there's the exact seven sons who aren't it, so just ask where the other one is. He's the king, that's him. You know, like, why does God make him go through this one by one, you know? Samuel goes, is this it? God's like, no. Is this it? No. You know, why doesn't he? Or just give Samuel a name in the first place. Like, yeah, hey, Samuel, you're looking for David. It's David. Just ask for David when you get there. You know, like, why? Just so happens that the seven sons he lines up first are not it, and the one who's not there is it. Like, why didn't the Lord just say, oh, none of them. It's not them. You know, like, why? Anyway. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. Right away. I don't try to do this. It makes me yawn within minutes. That is paranormal, I'm telling you. I'm going to have to look into this. I yawn within, what is that? We're at minute, like, five every time. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So they did like a tag, you're it. Okay, evil spirit, your turn. It's down with the good spirit. Time for the evil spirit. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. They're all telling him, like, man, Saul, you've been really bitchy lately. I think you got one of them evil spirits from the Lord. Why don't you look into that? And let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is a cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person. Well, geez, why don't you marry him? And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers up to Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. There it is. See, look at that. How easy was that? How difficult was that? Like, God was just shown up by one of Saul's servants. The guy said, I've heard of a son of Jesse who can play the harp. His name's David. Just go ask for David. Oh, okay, cool. I'll just go ask for David then. Like, I'll just go get him. Done. All done. He didn't say, like, line him up, line all the sons. Messenger comes from the king and David's father's like, ah, shit. Hey, all the sons. Hey, guys, line up. Come on. Come on, boys. Time for another lineup. We got to go through a lengthy selection process where each of you is rejected, you know, at a time, at once. But no, the servant just said, like, hey, when you get there, ask for David. He's the one. And it's done. Hey, that guy is better than God. We should be worshiping this character. We don't even have his name, but I'm going to start worshiping him. He's way better. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and loved him greatly, and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit parted from him. Okay, that's chapter 16 on to chapter 17. Now the Philistines, as they usually do, gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shocho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shocho and Azekah in Ephesdamim. Ephesdamim. There's like 16 extra letters in that. You know, it sounds, a phesdememe sounds kind of short, but there's two M's in a row for no reason. Like, whatever. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. I told you there's a famous story in this one. Whose height was 6 cubits. Yeah, this is the Goliath's Ark part of the Bible. Very famous. His height was 6 cubits and a span. And they say that 6 cubits and a span is like 9'9", just so you know. So, probably not true. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, which is something like 175 pounds, they said. Who knows? And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. I shouldn't have put a target in between his shoulders. It seems like, man, this guy's pretty cocky. And the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear was weighted 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. So, sounds pretty simple. Goliath is challenging him. If anyone can beat him, they'll give up. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Oh, he just wants a friend. He's just looking for a man. Just give him a man. Just fight. I'm sure you can. Just set him up. He's just looking to be set up. It's hard. When you're 9'9", it's hard to... it's kind of hard to find someone who can, you know, withstand that, if you know what I mean. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They're like, I don't want to be that guy's man. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. What the hell did that just mean? The man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Whatever. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went out to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days! The guy, Goliath, just like, is anybody today? No? All right. What would have happened if they just never sent someone? Every day, oh yeah, no, we're still in the selection process. We've got, just go home for today, and tomorrow, I swear to you, tomorrow we're this close to sending you a man. We're just trying to, you know, we went through some preliminary voting, and then we've got there's an appeals process. It's very lengthy, it's very technical. Just return to your tent, and very soon, stay loose. Meanwhile, they're just living their lives normally. They're not even doing anything. Seems like it doesn't seem like the Philistines are very apt to come fight them as an army. So, like, I would have been curious if I were there to see how long they could carry on. Oh, no, we are sending a man right down to fight you. Just, man, he is running as fast as he can. And Jesse said unto David, his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and return to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their household, unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. Oh, maybe they are finally going to fight. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the approach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. That just essentially all that happened is they said, this wasn't necessary. Again, another thing God could fix if he wanted to. But it told us, the Bible told us what the rewards were like. For anyone who beats him, the king is going to give him riches, his daughter, and make his house free. And then David comes by and asks, Hey, what about that killing that man? What does he get? And then they're like, they explain to David what he, you know, it wasn't necessary. They could just cut the beginning and then said, I'm just purely from an editing standpoint saying that they could have circumvented that little bit. And this is just one example of one paragraph. You know how short this Bible could be? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea? It could be so short. It could be over by now, easily. And basically what happened is David finds out, like, the riches that are in store if he can kill Goliath. And as you may already know, he's interested in possibly fighting Goliath. I'm not going to try to give too much away. And the people answered Ahithophel. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest down thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, For what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again in the former manner. Again, more meaningless stuff. Just said David asked some other people, and they said the same thing. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Boring, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So he's just saying David's too young. Oh, shoot, lost my spot. Where was I? It was right. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. That was a lion-bear team, I guess. Took a lamb out of the flock, and I went. The lion was the distraction. He's like, Hey, look at me, I'm a lion. Keep looking over here, keep looking over here. And then the bear is like, The bear ran around, like, took a lamb. It's like, I got it, run, it's okay. Oh, look at me, okay, I'm out of here. It's a bear-lion team. There came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Yeah, the lion and the bear were both circumcised, so this uncircumcised dude should be no problem in comparison, because that's the important part of battle. It's the aerodynamics you get from circumcision. David said, moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, they were each using one of their paws to hold David. Sounds kind of cute, actually. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a great coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. So basically they give him big armor, and he's like, I don't know how to use this. And he took it off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He hasn't defiled him yet. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. David was a terrible speaker. This is the it's not my reading. It says like Goliath is like, look, I don't know what you're saying, but I'm gonna kill you now, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. No, that's my head, don't take it. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this that's a good, yeah, oh, surely there's a God in Israel, because all these people were slaughtered. Like, that's a good sign that there's a God. Oh, this guy's head is missing. There must be a God. That's how their brains work. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Pretty easy. Yeah, this is another one of those supposed miraculous biblical stories that is pretty easily explained. Most likely, first of all, I'm not buying that this Goliath character was 9'9". You know, he was probably like kind of big, you know, and everyone was shorter back then. So even if he's, you know, a little bit taller than people, you know, he's still going to be pretty short. If there's one thing I know about humans, it's the tendency to exaggerate. In this case, I'm sure this guy's size steadily increased over the years. When it started, he was probably like 4 cubits, maybe, at most. And then one guy was like, no way, I was there. That dude was like 5 cubits, easily. And then a few years later, they're telling the story again. He's like, hey, remember when David killed that guy who was easily 6 cubits? Easily. He was 6 cubits if he was a single cubit. And I always love that argument, that way of saying things, like somehow that solves it. You know, you're like, shit. Well, I know he was definitely taller than 1 cubit. So, damn, I guess he was 6 cubits, because that's the only other option he gave me. He was either 6 cubits or 1 cubit. Crap, I guess he was 6 cubits. Anyway, it's not impossible that David was just really, really good at slinging rocks, and so he killed this, like, pretty big guy easily. You know, and that's the biblical story. There's nothing, probably nothing else to do besides sling rocks in those days anyway for a shepherd. So he probably did that all day, every day. It's like, someday I'm going to meet a guy who's kind of big, and I'm going to sling a rock right in his forehead. And so he practiced all the time. And that could be how that happened. It's very, very, very easy to see how this could have been slowly exaggerated. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. There you go. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharaim, even unto Gath, even unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And that just means they took a big dump in each of their tents. Oh man, these tents are spoiled. What's when the Philistines come back? Hey, our tents are all still here, guys. Oh God. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, captain of the host, Hey, little Abner, "Whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As the soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." I don't really understand this, and apparently by the notes, no one really does, but Saul doesn't recognize David for some reason, even though David, like, played the harp for him all the time, you know? Like, I don't really get why he doesn't know who it is. And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, little Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. It must be pretty stinky by then. I don't know why they have to carry this disgusting head everywhere. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" David answered, "I am the son of the servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." That's the end of that very long chapter. Okay, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I guess Jonathan is the king's son, Saul's son. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Okay, I've just kept him. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan I don't really love my own soul. Like, my soul's like, okay. I don't know, I see other people's souls, I'm like, that's a good soul. I could use that soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David. Ooh, it's getting a little interesting. And his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle, wearing another man's girdle. And David went whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. That's really weird. Music is spelled M-U-S-I-C-K. Music. Music. It's because it's sick. It's really sick music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul did a double take and went, "Bruh?" And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom?" And that's a very cool way of saying, actually. I kind of like that sentence. Basically, he's saying, like, well, what's next, you know? What else could he have next besides the entire kingdom? So I better put a stop to this. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. David must have noticed Saul just eyeing him every single day, right? I mean, like, hey, would you stop looking at me like that? Why are you eyeing me all day, every 24/7, just every day? You've just been eyeing me. Can you stop? Or, you know? And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. Twice, after he throws the first javelin at you, why don't you just say, like, can I be excused? do I need to be here if you're going to... I'm not a javelin target. Can I go? But no. He apparently stayed there and avoided two javelin throws. What's more, I'm pretty sure he only has one javelin. Like, I think it's like this... I read in the notes it's like this... You know, like a scepter almost that a king would carry around, you know? So he probably, like, throws the javelin at David and it's like, "David, give me that javelin." "Oh, okay." And he, like, brings it back to him, throws it at him again. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." And the Lord said, "I don't need someone to fight my battles for me." Oh, wait, yes, I do, every single time. For Saul said, "Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So this is Saul's latest plan. He said he's going to give his daughter to her, give his daughter to him, and he's sending David out to battle and thinking like, okay, well, he'll just be killed in battle, you know, and that'll be that. Problem solved. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife. So David was promised a daughter, and then he gave the daughter to someone else. I think he's just trying to piss off David. He just hates him. He's like just totally messing with him at every chance. And Michal, this is a girl, so I'm guessing it's not Michael. It's spelled M-I-C-H-A-L. We'll say Michal. I'll just call her, it's almost like Michelle, but Michal. We'll say Michal. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare unto him. And that, I guess he doesn't like his daughter very much. Oh, I know her, she's a total bitch. I'm going to give him to her. To him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain, which they just, I guess, just means a second time or something weird. He's like, well, I screwed you over the first time, but this time. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? The servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, what the hell is happening? And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged to the king's enemy. Here we go. This is disgusting. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So he said, okay. So lots of convoluted crap has happened, but Saul has told, Saul's the king. I don't know if that's step one. Saul's the king. And he's told his people, he doesn't talk directly to David anymore because he doesn't like him. He told his people to tell David, tell him he can have my daughter, but that the dowry, I don't want a dowry from him. He doesn't have to pay me anything. Except that, wait, isn't the dowry the other way? Yeah, the dowry should be the other way. The hell? Anyway, whatever. The king said, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I thought the dowry was from the daughter's dad, right? Because it's like, hey, please take this frigging female off my hands. Can't stand him anymore. Back in the day, right? It's pretty... A dowry is a pretty sexist thing. It's sort of like, all right, if you marry my daughter, get her the hell out of here. I will give you money. And so I don't really get this. But anyway, the king desireth not any dowry. Maybe dowry just means any sort of wedding like gift or something, wedding offering. But 100 foreskins. So so David has to go collect 100 foreskins of the Philistines. It's so disgusting. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins. Ugh, so gross. So he had to kill, he killed 200 men, even though he only asked for 100. He's like, well, I might as well kill, while I'm collecting 100 foreskins, I might as well collect 200 foreskins. Like, what, you know. If we're going to go handle some penises and cut off some foreskins, like, why don't we just do it? Why don't we just get some foreskins, you know what I mean, guys? Plus, this extra 100, it's going to come in handy someday. Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. He's like, I have all these foreskins, but... It's almost as though they're just an empty present, you know? I'd rather have David be dead than a handful of 200 foreskins. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Before it was a part-time job, now he's continually his enemy. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. That's the end of chapter 18. So pretty much all that happened in that chapter was David being perfect because he's awesome, and Saul, the king, being jealous and being afraid of him and plotting, trying to get him killed, that kind of thing. It's kind of weird. Sorry, adjusting my microphone here. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, this is chapter 19, and to all his servants that they should kill David. So finally, Saul's like, I just kill this guy, I've had enough of this. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. If you remember, Jonathan and David have a little gay thing going. So Jonathan told David, saying, My father, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee now. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul's father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and gave you just a shitload of foreskins. Count those foreskins. How many foreskins do you have right now? Count them. 200 foreskins. That's right. Yeah, those are all from David. Like, he gave those to you. Treasure those foreskins. Hold them in your hand. Put them aside, you know, in a safe place. Put them on display. Those are your foreskins. He gave those to you. He's a cool dude. Wherefore, when thou wilt sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as times pass. So Jonathan, David's gay buddy, also Saul's son, said, convince Saul not to kill David. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. And they fled from him, and the evil spirit of the Lord was upon Saul. And he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. David must have been very accustomed to the whizzing sound of a javelin going into the wall next to him, you know. Phew! Oh, great. It's another goddamn javelin. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through the window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed. She printed off a photo of David, put it in a bed, put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth. It's a classic technique. And then she set up a tape recorder that, like, answered questions, you know, like, picked select questions for David to answer, like, oh, no, I'm sick, you know, and then, you know, like, he'd be discovered when someone was like, okay, well, he's sick, I guess we're gonna leave. No, don't come in. They're like, what are you talking about? Go away, I'm sick. Huh? No, we said we were going to go away. What? Don't come in. You know, like, repeats, and then the comedy ensues. Anyway, and so when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. And they're like, oh, he's sick. We better kill him another day. And we don't want to kill a man when he's sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to say David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped. I didn't think about that. I guess Michal is Saul's daughter, so that was a little interesting little loyalty test, you know. Because, you know, Saul wanted to kill David. David's Michal's wife. Michal's David's wife. Michal's also Saul's daughter, so. But Michal covered for David, and he fled. So David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they likewise prophesied. And I don't really know what this means. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. So basically, you keep sending messengers to do something, but they just end up, I don't know, praying or prophesying? I don't know what that means. But whatever, essentially they're not killing David, that's the important part. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Shechem, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And no one said. Oh, no. And one said, Behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah. And they went, and he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets? So this was a little weird. I don't know what the hell just happened. Actually, it's a good point. Let me check some notes here, because that was a little... I didn't write anything down for that. I don't really know what happened there. Because, like, okay, so Saul's trying to get to David, but he can't. His robe... God, chip off his clothes. I guess, basically, it means he keeps sending everybody to... That's what happened. He keeps sending everybody to get David, right? But God keeps protecting David by having the people he sends just end up, like, praying, you know? And so, finally, Saul goes himself, and he ends up naked and praying. I don't know why he had to be naked for it, but he ends up praying. And so, like, they were like, wow, even Saul is, Saul's, one of the... What did they say? Is Saul also among the prophets? You know, that's what they said. So that's what happened. And that's our reading. So, yeah, David and Goliath, pretty cool. I can see how that story could be slightly exaggerated through the years. It's really not all that paranormal sounding of a story. I mean, if you just say Goliath was roughly 6 foot or something, I don't know, 6'2", you know, like he defeated him with a rock, that could happen. That's about it. It was pretty boring otherwise, wasn't it? At any rate, that's our reading for this week, and we'll keep plugging along. Again, if this podcast isn't funny anymore, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it funny. Sometimes things just aren't that funny, you know? No, I don't. What I meant to say was sometimes it might just end up being I read and explain, and hopefully at least do a decent job of that so you know what's going on. There hasn't been a whole lot of material in the last couple readings, except... things here and there. Whatever. Hopefully you're enjoying it. If not, let me know, you know, if there's any comments you have, put them on the Facebook, you know, discuss. I'll reply to stuff on Facebook and comment and stuff. And as usual, check out F This Podcast. Listenership is going up on that, so you guys must be checking it out. Hope you like it. We'll be recording a new sode soon. And, also, please give me iTunes reviews. They are very helpful. I know a lot of you have, and I'm so thankful for that. But please, anyone who hasn't, please do so. If you can't join the Facebook, at least write a review on iTunes, because that's anonymous, and it helps, and it puts me higher in the rankings. I think I'm, like, number 11 right now in Religion Other. So that's pretty good. I'm happy about that. I want to be there, you know? And I don't... if that means people are liking it and getting something out of it, so that makes me very happy. Okay, I'll see you guys for the next episode. Catch you later.